Shofar End Time Bible Prophecy Podcast. I'm your host, Gerald. Today's podcast, we'll be doing a teaching, Satan, Zeus, Thor, Baal, Jupiter, Moloch, Enlil, Prince and Power of the Air. We did a previous teaching several months back on a Facebook Live presentation on the Prince and Power of the Air, which we talked about Zeus, Thor and Baal, but we included a little bit more information that I think will be beneficial. We highly suggest that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on Facebook. I put links in the description page, also to follow us on our podcast. And if you are getting something out from our teaching, please do share it. We want to make sure that we're equipping the saints, especially in these last and evil days. So no further ado, let's get into our presentation, into our teaching. Subtopic will be the gods of thunder, Zeus, Thor, Baal, and Jupiter, and Enlil, and also we included Moloch. I included that last minute within the notes, that I think it will be within context, especially what we're looking at, especially in these last and evil days. So let's get into our presentation and let's see how we can really try to equip and really equip people in these last and evil days. So we're going to get started within the scriptures. And we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 2. It says, in which you used to walk, I'm going to shorten this, and conform to the ways of the world, and the rulers of darkness and the power of the air are the ways of this world, and the rulers of the power. Just bear with me. We're going to kind of change our format around where we can. I think that's better. Okay. Amen. That's a whole lot better. All right. In which you used to walk when you conform to the ways of this world, and the rulers of the power and air and the spirit who is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. May the Lord add a reading and a blessing to his word. So we're talking about the prince and power of the air. So the primarily what we're going to be looking at within this study, some are within scriptures, some are in various cultures that we will be examining. The prince and power of the air, we'll be looking at six storm gods and the prince and power of the air. So one that we've seen throughout biblical Old Testament history, once the children of Israel enter into the land of Canaan, is Baal. Either Baal or Baal, which is the Canaanite or Phoenician god of heaven, god of fertility, and the god of thunderstorms. Next, we have Zeus, which is very popular within the Greek pantheon of gods. Also, the last movie, Thor, really focused on Zeus being the head honcho of the gods in the last Marvel movie. But Zeus is the Greek god of the sky and thunder, sender of lightning, and king of the gods of Mount Olympus. Then you have his Roman counterpart, Jupiter, which is the Roman sky god and thunder god. And then one that you probably never heard about, which we're going to really connect some dots in this lesson, is Enlil, which is the Sumerian storm god, the chief deity of the Sumerian pantheon, also associated with wind, air, earth, and later known as Enlil, the Mesopotamian god of wind, air, earth, and storms. And then we have Thor, which is very popular within the Marvel universe, which is the Norse god of thunder and lightning. And then we have Moloch, the chief weather god of ancient Carthage. And also he was a Canaanite deity, which we'll get a little bit more further into as we progress within this lesson. So let's kind of go into the scripture background to kind of put into context in regards to the prince and power of the air, trying to understand biblical worldview, Judeo-Christian worldview, especially in the spirit realm. We have to go to the scripture. So when we go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8 and 9, it says, "When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. But the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is his allotted heritage." So our previous teaching that we did on reversing Babel and the day of Pentecost, we talked about how in Genesis chapter 11, it talks about the Tower of Babel, when God dispersed the people because they had one mind, they had one language, they came in rebellion against God. He confounded the languages, sent them out to their separate domains, separate regions of the world, which you development of princes and principalities over rulers of darkness that rule over nations. So we look at, we touched upon this when we were looking at Pentecost and reversing Babel. This is Philo Specialized Laws 113. In regards to the context of even Paul's view of powers and principalities, which we see in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "Some have supposed that the sun, moon, and other stars were gods with absolute powers, meaning they have powers and in of themselves, and ascribe to them cautions of all events. But Moses held that the cosmos," this is the term the Greeks for the world that Paul uses all the time, "the cosmos was created and is in the sense, or this sense, the greatest of the commonwealths, having rulers." And now his term for rulers here is in the terms that Paul uses for the powers and principalities, the same terms. So terms that Paul uses for principalities in the same terms. So Philo uses, is talking about the cosmos. So Paul is using the same context as Philo is using, is talking about the cosmos as the great government, saying it has rulers and it has subjects. "Now for the rulers and all of the celestial bodies, fixed and wandering subjects, such beings as exist below the moon and in the air of the earth." So this is where we're starting to develop more, looking in context, Satan and these other pagan gods or prince and powers of the air. When we look at the writings of Plato, we can find in Plato's Law 4, 7113 and 738, talks about demons as rulers. So it says, "Well then, the tradition tells us how blissful was life of men in that age and furnished with everything in abundance and of spontaneous growth, and the cause thereof said to have been this. So why is everything working so great? Why is everything in the beautiful cosmic order?" He gives you the reason, and he says, "Chronos," this is Plato in his writings, in Plato's Law, "the high god of time was aware of the fact that no human being, as we've explained, as capable or is capable of having irresponsible control of all human affairs without becoming filled with pride and injustice. It says, so pondering his fact, he then appointed as kings and rulers for our cities, not men, but beings of race that are was nobler and more divine, namely demons or demonios. He acted as we now do, as in case of sheep and herds of tame animals. We do not set oxen as rulers over oxen or goats or over goats, but we who are of a nobler race ourselves rule over them. In like manner, the God of his love for humanity set over us that time the nobler race of the demons who in such comfort themselves. And he goes on to say, much took charge. And so here's Plato talking about that Kronos or God put demons over mankind to rule over them, which Paul really exposes in the writings to the church at Ephesus and other things with in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20 talks about, in reality, these gods are demons, the Shadim, they're not the true living God, the creator God, but they're adversaries and they lead mankind astray. So we see that in context. Now, who is Enlil? Because we really, the other gods that we mentioned being associated with the prince and power of the air, we mentioned Baal or Bel, we mentioned Thor. We know everybody knows about Thor, everybody knows about Zeus, everybody knows about Jupiter, everybody knows about Moloch from reading Old Testament scriptures. But who is Enlil? Christopher B. Hayes also just suggested the idols may just be a form of Enlil or Enlil, which could also mean a god of gods, and his name was known far and wide throughout the ancient Near East, and is symbiotic writings and written as Enlil, and is taken in contracted form based on doubling of the word Ilu, which is God, or God of gods. In fact, it is now commonly argued that the Sumerian writing of the name Enlil, Lord of the Wind, was derived from the Semitic name. He goes on and he writes, and then also to a lot of the sources, because we're doing both the video portion of this podcast and the audio portion. I will place in the subscription section if people want to view the video teaching to follow some of the sources and other things to go back and study. We'll provide that. But interesting points, Lucifer is actually Hallel, which was Enlil in the ancient world and was almost certainly the same word as idols in the Hebrew Bible. So very interesting fact that Enlil is really Satan. A lot of ancient culture, especially in Sumerian, you go all the way back, Akkadian type languages and all, Enlil points to actually this being or this God is actually Satan himself. So we see Satan takes on many different disguises or different things, different gods, is the prince and power of the air. So when we connect Baal, Zeus, and Enlil, Enlil and Zeus are known as the gods that ride the storm. Baal is known as the god that rides the clouds. Zeus and Enlil were known as the father of the gods. So when we look at even in 1 Kings chapter 18, which the next slide will get it a little bit more into, a little bit more in depth. The prophets of Baal challenged the prophet Elijah, which God will answer by fire. So lightning was associated with fire. So interesting point that lightning is associated with fire. So when the prophets of Baal are going up against Elijah, the challenge is which God is going to respond by lightning, which caused fire. The lightning would hit the sacrifice that they're offering, the prophets of Baal to their false god, Elijah to Yahweh. And we know Yahweh responded, but also to, let's look at Zeus. Jesus himself says the throne, he states that the throne of Zeus, which is in Pergamos, is the throne of Satan. So here's Jesus himself. What's hiding behind the throne of Zeus is actually the throne of Satan. We look at other things in regards to the first abomination desolation that Daniel prophesied about, because when we look at prophecy in regards to a Hebraic Jewish point of view, it's things that's repeated. So when you go to Antiochus Epiphanes, when he desecrated the temple and sacrificed the pig, the idol that he worshiped and that he even formed himself, because the idol was of Zeus, had his facial features on the idol of Zeus, and his name meant God manifested, was actually Zeus. So here's Jesus talking about Zeus. The throne of Zeus is actually the throne of Satan. So Zeus is associated with being prince and power of the air, because one of his main things, main weapons, is the lightning bolt. So when we look at the prophet Elijah and the prophet Baal, which we've already touched upon, it says again, the common symbol of Zeus Baal or Baal is his fiery bolt of lightning. And it's interesting that here in this biblical account, it was the God of Elijah who lights his sacrifice with the literal bolt of fire from heaven, not Baal or Baal, for his priests, which we see in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38. It says the symbolism will surely not have been lost on the Baal worshiping audience gathered to witness the event. So it wasn't nothing new. They wouldn't have accepted the challenge if they knew that their God wasn't going to respond at all. Just so happens that God put their gods, their false gods, in mute and showed that he's all powerful. Just like we see with Moses contending with the musicians and different things, him and Aaron contending there in Egypt. Same thing with Elijah, and same thing with God and his people, which John talked about, greater than he that is in us, than he that is in the world. Another interesting point is the Zeus bull connection goes on even further. And however, to the one of the most infamous deities in the Bible, Baal, that's because Zeus is the Greek equivalent to the Canaanite Phoenician god in the Mediterranean and Middle East, and is linked as a derivative and easily traceable in such manner, in such names as Zeus Belus or Zeus Baal, Jupiter Belus. Zeus and Baal were respected in their various regions as thunder gods and were often depicted as armed with a fiery thunderbolt. So again, here you're connecting the dots. Prince and power of the air, we look at the association with Zeus. Look at the association with Baal. All these gods are associated with when Paul is writing to the Ephesians. They're fully aware of these different gods, these false gods that they're worshiping, that Satan is the prince and power of the air. So prime example, one good example in regards to even studying this, the book of Job. We look at Job 1, how Satan attacks Job. We see one, fire or lightning consumes Job's sheep and servants in Job chapter 1, verse 16. Also, two, we see a strong wind strikes the house of the young people, killing them in Job chapter 1, verse 19. So here you see fire, lightning consumes Job's sheep and the servants. And then also too, you see wind come in and strikes the house, which most people believe it was Job's kids that were inside the house and they were killed. It's a prime example of Satan being the prince and power of the air. We see the discussion how God asked him, where you been? And he says, I've been to and fro, up and down, throughout the earth and all. And God talks about Job being a just and righteous man, and he gives him the parameters, the cans, and what he can do to Job and what he can't do to Job. And we see the after effect. What he does is it's a good example of being the prince and power of the air. Ironically, even seeing how when Jesus was going over into Gentile territory, when he meets the man that has the legion of demons, notice how even when Jesus is asleep and he's going across the sea and a wind begins to really blow and looks like the wind was trying to destroy the ship that Jesus and his disciples were in, and he wake up Jesus and they think they're going to perish, and Jesus wakes up and he rebukes the wind, which is more than the story behind it, that ironically it was an unusual occurrence, that was the spiritual occurrence was happening, that he actually rebuked the wind, which I find kind of odd and very much can be a study within itself. When we move on, we can even see how Satan is the prince and power of the air. Look at Revelation chapter 13, how prime example of this, how Satan empowers the false prophet to call down fire or call down lightning. So look at verse 12 through 14. It says it exercises, talking about this, it's talking about the false prophet, or it's talking about the beast. It said it exercises all authority of the first beast. So it's talking about this second beast is the false prophet and its presence, and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people, and by signs, and that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast. It deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast, and that it was wounded by the sword and yet lived. So here we see a connection of that, how Satan will utilize the false prophet to perform lying signs and wonders, bringing down fire, bringing down lightning. So again, we're looking at the prince and power of the air. Belzaphon is the Lord of the North. So let's look at who's the Lord of the North. Belzaphon is a name in Hebrew that means Lord of the North. The Hebrew word for North is Sapan. When the prophet Isaiah relates how Lucifer coveted the furthest sides of the north of the mountain of God, it is the same Hebrew word used to indicate north there, as well as Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. He sought to be the Lord of the North. So to speak of Baal-Zephon is before there was any false god that name. Baal-Zephon was the storm deity in the land of Canaan, and he became equated with the Greek and Roman thunder gods, Zeus and Jupiter. So here we see Baal-Zephon is connected with Zeus and Jupiter. Baal-Zephon is the Lord of the North. So we see the proclamation of Lucifer, the five, I will ascend above the stars and towards the North and all these other things and all. That's what it's associated with. So Baal-Zephon is the Lord of the North. So we hear this, see this connection of the prince and power of the air. So when we look at even the satanic S represents lightning bolts. We touched up on this when we did a podcast in regards to Black Adam and Shazam. The emblem that's on their chest, or the sign that's on their chest, is the satanic S. The satanic S represents lightning bolts. That means the destroyer. In mythology, it was a weapon of Zeus, warned to have power over others. S was warned by the feared SS of Nazi Germany. So we've done a podcast in regards to Hitler being type and shadow of the Antichrist, which we exposed. Hitler being Hitler and his SS being heavily involved in the occult. So this symbol is a occult symbol, the lightning bolt. So we can see this being utilized. So a lot of things are hidden in plain sight. So the Bible tells us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. So we see this playing out. So when we go further in to different rock groups, main thing that I want to bring out is the rock band KISS, their logo. We can see the satanic S's within their group. Now, people who think Christians are weirdos and we try to come up with all this stuff and everything's demonic and all this stuff, I'm going to really expose something in this next slide, because we have to be, if we're going to be woke, we better be spiritually woke. You know, people want to talk about wokeism and other things and all, but you better be spiritually woke in the Holy Spirit. Here's KISS, who does a song. The 1976 song, God of Thunder, really exposes even who the God of rock and roll is. It's behind Satan. Here's some of the lyrics. He says, the lyrics, it says, I was born on Olympus to my father, a son. I was raised by the demons, trained to reign as the one God of thunder and rock and roll. I gather darkness to please me. I command you to kneel before the God of thunder and rock and roll. The spell you're under will slowly rob you of a virgin soul. KISS, God of Thunder. Now, people are in the music industry and other things and all, a lot of times they're getting these lyrics, they're channeling these spirits, demonic entities, people that write a lot of these movie scripts and other things and all, and write these novels and just other things, and I'm not saying all, but they're channel these spirits from the demonic realm. And just look at the lyrics within itself. So it's, number one, it's telling you about what is the thunder god is a demon. It's telling you that the God of Thunder is associated with rock and roll, which it's a form of rebellion. You go to a rock concert, you see the manifestation that occurs when the music begins to play and things that happen within the concert, the debauchery, some other things that occur. It says, I will rob you of your virgin soul, the god of thunder. So, and he's talking about born on Olympus. So, and references given to like Zeus and all these other thunder gods are associated with the Shadim, demons of the nation, the gods of these nations, which are Shadims, are demons. So here we see the association being part of the prince and power of the air. We look at some other examples. Here we see Lady Gaga and David Bowie. I believe Lady Gaga did this to honor David Bowie, but we see them sporting the lightning bolt on their face under the right eye. There's a couple of things you can go really go into the symbolism behind that. The satanic S on their face, but on the right eye, because Book of Zechariah talks about the Antichrist, or the depiction of the Antichrist. He'll be blinded in his right eye. So when you see people who cover up their right eye, and just other things where you see magazine publications and music videos and some other things, are people throwing up the 666 sign, covering up their eye, and just some other things and all. And I know people, I'm just giving examples. So I want people like, oh, you're throwing up signs and hidden codes, and you're part of the Illuminati or anything like that. I'm exposing what these people are doing. So we see this, them sporting the lightning bolt on their face. So we did a short video several months ago talking about Thor and Marvel. We'll be doing a little bit more on that. But I find this ironically what Freemasons believe, that Thor is the prince and power of the air, which is associated with Satan. Paul associates that with Satan in scripture. Albert Pike gives us some additional names for Thor, and he explains Thor was the son, the Egyptian Osiris, Knif, the Phoenician Baal, or Baal. Baal is also a synonym for the devil. This god Baal is under the name of Thor, is called the prince of the power of the air. So we connect all the dots. Thor, Zeus, Enlil, Jupiter, Baal, all these gods are associated with being under the different faces of Satan in different cultures and different names, different guises, the prince and power of the air. Now, what animal is Baal associated with? Baal is frequently associated with the bull. We talked about that earlier in the teaching with Enlil and Zeus being associated with the bull, but we're going to further go into not only some of these thunder or sky gods are associated being prince of power of the air, but associated being a symbol of a bull. So Baal is sometimes associated or equivalent to Baal Hamon or El Hamon. Now we look at Moloch. Moloch is one of the key gods that we see mentioning several times within the Torah. Are mentioned within the Old Testament scriptures. When you look at scriptures, First and Second Kings, and just other things and all, I believe even this is one of the gods that eventually Solomon gets turned into worshiping Chemosh, and Moloch. But Moloch, the chief weather god of Carthage, Moloch was a Canaanite god of fertility and associated with notorious practice of child sacrifice. He was also commonly associated with Baal Hamon, the chief weather god of ancient Carthage, which is in modern day Tunisia. However, he's considered to be a false god in Abrahamic religion. So here we see Moloch is also considered not just a god of child sacrifice, but also he's associated being a god of weather. When we look at this, gives a good depiction of what we've seen of Moloch being the bull god, but also the god of child sacrifice. People would bring their children to the priest, and some Moloch idols that they would have like the hands where people would put their kids in the hands of Moloch, and they would burn them. Or like this picture gives a depiction of below, they would put them like inside of Moloch, close it up, set the fire inside Moloch, and the kids would be consumed in the fire, which Moloch is the idol. Moloch was that of a bull. So they will put their kids inside this idol bull with fire burning. And the kids, of course, would begin to scream. One of the ways that they would drown out the sounds of their screaming children being sacrificed to these devils, which Psalms 106, I believe verse 36 through 38 talks about that, sacrificing your children to devils. But they would play drums, and they would play drums so to drown out the sounds of the screaming kids. So the cult of Moloch, or Molech, is said to have boiled children alive in the bowels of the big bronze statue, the body of a man, and the head of a bull. The offerings, at least according to some inscriptions in the Hebrew Bible, were to reap through either fire or war. We see a good example of this also too. It was in the book of Kings, I believe 2 Kings, when the children of Israel were battling. It was one of the Canaanite tribes, but it was Jezebel's husband had came to battle the king, and they were losing. This Canaanite tribe was losing the battle, and the king sacrificed his oldest son to the god Chemosh. And soon as he committed a human sacrifice of his oldest son, the battle began to change dramatically, and they began to overcome the armies of Israel after he made the sacrifice. So there is things that occur in the demonic world with blood sacrifices and other things and all. So we have to be aware of that. And what we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of darkness. So we have to really be aware of what we're doing. And we have to remain prayerful and be on the Lord's side. Amen. So when we look at that prime example of Moloch, Satan is, John 10:10 says it best. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It says the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. And I come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We look at Enlil, the storm god, and being as a bull. The same group of ideals, the storm god, the sun god, and the fertilizing bulls gathered about another Mesopotamian deity, Enlil. Or Enlil, the Sumerian god of Nippur, bore the name in which meant Lord of the Storm. He's also addressed as the Great Mountain. So again, this talks about when we look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, when Lucifer or Enlil says, I exalt myself above the stars, and it talks about going towards the north, the great mountain. It says Enlil is also conceived as a mighty ox or bull with glittering horns. So again, we see this bull symbolism that takes place. With bulls are of Enlil, Dr. Jestro further compares the golden calf made by Aaron at the foot of Mount Sinai. The golden calves set up at Bethel and at Dan by Jeroboam. The comparisons of that bull is just as Enlil. So you see the comparisons. It's almost an epithet. The Bible's talking about how when Moses is up in the mount receiving the laws from God, of course, everybody knows the story. Aaron starts to get pressure from all the other people, the children of Israel. He forms a golden calf. It wasn't really a golden calf. It was an actual bull. So lots of scholars come to conclusion that it was a bull that they were actually sacrificing to. So it's a lot of other things that are adding up, even with the symbolism and other things and all, with a bull, with these gods that are the prince and power, which ultimately is Satan, prince and power of the air, with the bull. We see the connection with the bull with Zeus, and Zeus transforms himself into a bull. And we look at the mythology of that with the goddess Europa. So in Greek mythology, the daughter, Europa was either the daughter of the Phoenix or Agenor, the king of Phoenicia. The beauty of Europa inspired the love of Zeus, who approached her in the form of a white bull and carried away from Phoenicia to Crete. Europa is depicted riding Zeus, or riding a bull, riding Zeus, or riding the beast, which we're going to get into what scripture says about the woman sitting on a beast. So when we look at the woman riding the beast, one of the Time magazine did, I believe, in the 1990s or so, this magazine cover. And this other magazine cover is a European publication, but it's talking about the European Union. And one of the symbols that they use is a woman sitting on a beast, and you see the European Union just carrying a flag, people are riding the beast. See the other depiction of Der Spiegel magazine. You see the woman again riding on the beast. Within the European currency, the euro, the woman riding on the beast. So you see this, and when we look at scriptures, and we're concluding, Revelation chapter 17, verse 3 says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns." So we see the association with the bulls, prince and power, the storm gods being the prince, considered prince and powers, the air. But we see the end result, how John, almost 2,000 years ago, riding on the island of Patmos on the book of Revelation, talks about a woman riding on a beast, a woman riding on this beast, which is we see is an actual bull. So Satan comes in many guises or disguises and other things and all, but it's all one and the same, different cultures, same game. There's nothing new under the sun. So we live in the last and evil days. We have to be in tune to knowing, discerning, walking in discernment, walking in the spirit, and stay prayed up, and really understand spiritual warfare, and really lean on the power of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth and not be deceived. So hopefully you've received something from this lesson upon this evening in regards to the prince and power of the air. We covered how Satan is associated with Zeus, Jupiter, Thor, Baal, and Moloch and Enlil. So all these things come together, different cultures, but one entity that's behind all these different gods, even though they're different names and different cultures and all. So be spiritually woke. Stay prayerful. Keep me in prayer as I keep you in prayer. Follow us again on follow us on Facebook. I put a link on there. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, and also try to subscribe to our podcast if you haven't. And then share the message. We're just trying to get the word out, especially in these last days. It's just a sense of urgency. So God bless. I'm the End Time Shofar. God bless, and signing out. And pray for me as I pray for you. Amen.